As I have already announced, I want to bring you my second sermon of today on our motto text for this year. And the motto text is found in the 31st chapter of Deuteronomy, and it is the verse 8. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. We discovered this morning that this text is one of those texts that has a commitment of seven. There are seven things, seven promises and exhortations from the Lord to each one of us. And we are first of all introduced to the identity of the foremost. And the foremost in the text is the Lord Himself. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. And the Lord, He it is, the identity of the foremost. Then we have the wonderful thought that He doth go before us. And here we have the wonderful defensibility of our great forerunner. Someone goes before us in the walk of life. Who is it? It is none other than the great forerunner Himself, the Lord Himself. And then, thirdly, we find He will be with us. And we have the fidelity of our fellow traveler, one that will be with us. And then we discover that He will not fail us. He will not feel us, and we have the ability of this great companion that never fails. He has no failure in His bosom or heart or plan. He's the unfailing Christ. He will not forsake us. He will be with us. And He will be with us until He brings us home. And then we will be home with Him for all eternity. But then notice we have something more. It says here that He will not forsake us. And there we have the ability of His faithfulness. He will be faithful right to the end of the journey. And then we have the two sweet clips that clip the whole promises in a wonderful roll for us to carry. Fear not. There we have the integrity of our God. We have not to fear. And what is more, we have His infallibility, and we can be assured we don't need to be dismayed. So I want to look first of all at the ability of this companion who cannot fail. He will not forsake thee. The Lord Jesus declared that he stood at the door and he knocked. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him and he with me. Here is everlasting permanency. The incoming guest never leaves. The communion established cannot be broken. He that believeth on the Son hath and always will have everlasting life. The Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. We are united eternally to God by His own oath. We shall never, ever perish. We are the eternal recipients of everlasting life. God cannot forsake His people and never will forsake them. When Christ comes to our souls, he comes to the soul house of humanity. Christ comes to me, and in the house of my humanity, he pardons me forever. When Jesus comes, he enters my mind. He touches the very spring. He goes down to the depths of my soul. How few people can say truthfully at death that they have completely finished the work they had to do. No mere ordinary human being can say that. But the Lord Jesus can truthfully say that every man's life is a fragment, but his. It finishes sometimes early, sometimes later. But Christ's life finished when he finished it. I had power to lay it down, he said, and I had power to take it again. Christ was in permanent control of his own life. And on the cross, when the last debt was paid, and the last drop of blood was shed, Jesus shouted, "The victory, it is finished." And the work was done for all eternity. Christ's work was all done. Everything he had planned, he had performed. Nothing was left undone. He had fulfilled the entire program. Only then did the Savior yield up the ghost. Our Lord Jesus is the perpetual text of every sermon and of all preaching. He is the theme of all true religion. He is the perpetual object of all worship. That cannot be said of any other man that ever lived or ever will live. That in all things, he, our Lord Jesus Christ, might have the preeminence. Truly, Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. Thomas Guthrie, the great old man of the Scottish pulpit, said, "We have still to see Christ as he is." We haven't seen him yet as he is. But the day that he comes, we are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And we're going to see him as he is. One day, one glorious day, one perfect day, which shall never have a night, we shall see him as he is. We see him now by illustrations and figures of our analogies and limits. We see him now through a grass that is dark. Now we see through a glass darkly, but now we shall see him face to face. All our sketches in time will be filled up and measured. The divine points of life which give glory now will be like blinking stars. But the final look will be like the sun in the morning. The whole heaven will be full of Jesus, beautiful as he is, in all his eternal joy, and in all his glorious everlasting life. The disclosures we have seen on this earth will be as twilight to midday. There is the ability of this faithful yoke fellow who is going to be with us to the end of time. But let me come to these two clips at the end of this great 5 points of promise. There's the impregnability of the final exhortation. What does he say? He says to every one of us, fear not. There is a virtuous fear, which is the effect of faith. There is a vicious fear, which is the product of doubt. The former leads to hope, as relying on God in whom we have believed. The other inclines to despair, as not relying on the God in whom we do not believe. Persons of the one character fear to lose God. Persons of the other character fear to find him. Two men are afraid of drowning. One stands on a rock, and the other stands on sinking sand. Both of them have the same fear of drowning. Both are afraid. The one on the rock is a type of gospel fear. The one on the quicksand is afraid. And that is a type of legal fear. There are people who still tremble with gospel fear. Heaven's peace has not filled their soul. They still are troubled. But there are others, and they have a legal fear because they're on sinking sand. The only way to get rid of these fears is one and the same. If you put your hand out and let Christ himself grasp it, then whether you stand on the rock or you stand on the sand, you are safe forevermore. It is only the nail-pierced hand of Christ that can hold you him to the rock of ages and save you for all eternity. There's an old gospel hymn. I've never heard it sung in my day, but it goes like this. I was wrecked on a rocky and desolate shore, sinking slowly beneath the wild sea. When all of my struggles and efforts were over, Christ threw out the lifeline to me. The billows were dashing, the waves rolling high, no help from the land could I see. When hope had all vanished and danger was nigh, Christ threw out the lifeline to me. When all was confusion, midst dark billows rolled, no light through the gloom could I see. By trusting Him fully, He rescued my soul. Christ threw out the lifeline to me. And now, as I wander, I sing as I go. His mercy is boundless and free. And tell the glad story that others may know. Christ threw out the lifeline for me. Your sins like the billows around you may rise. All dangers your frail bark pursue. There's one who will heed you and hear your faint cries. He'll throw out the lifeline to you. He threw out the lifeline to me. He threw out the lifeline to me. From Calvary's tree, far over the sea, Christ threw out the lifeline to me. And hallelujah, He not only threw it out, but He put it in my hand and locked it there with eternal love and everlasting life. Have you got the lifeline tonight? If you have, the fears go. The troubles go. The unrest go. And you have peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The Holy Spirit whispers peace, peace, peace within. Lastly and seventhly, the infallibility of the full command is assured. Fear not. Neither be dismayed. Here is the infallibility of the full command assured. Dismay is wiped away. Deliverance is wonderfully applied. Oh, the wonder of it all. Everything that marks genuine conversion is a mark of the Holy Spirit of God. Dear sinner, without God, give your heart to the Holy Spirit tonight. Let me hearten you as God's servant this very night that God wants to covenant you to Himself. In love, in purity, and entire forgiveness. In the most far off eternity, He longed after you in eternal love and boundless grace. God is not against you, my dear sinner friend. God is for you. Away in the dim, an unknown past, He appointed His only begotten Son to come into the world. What to do? To damn souls? No. He came into the world to save sinners. And when the time came, blessed be His name, He came to seek and to save those that were lost. He does not want you to be dismayed. In fact, his final word to your soul is a plea to rid yourself forever from your dismay. What does he say? He says he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. What does he say? Fear not, neither be dismayed. The Lord Jesus told Nicodemus, the wind bloweth where it listeth. The time and place of the work of the Spirit of God is uncertain. Some are called to Christ in the first hour, that is, in their infancy and childhood, like Samuel and like young John the Baptist. Some are called in the third hour, the hour of their youth, like David and John the Evangelist. Others in the sixth hour, the hour of middle age, like Andrew and Peter. Some are called in the 11th hour, like Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. The dying thief was called in his dying hour. Our calling to conversion can be at any hour, and it can be from any place. Some are called from the ship. One man was called from the pig farm. Some were called from the house of devils. Some were called from the stormy sea. And others have been called from the rocky mountains. But the age and the hour and the place is entirely unimportant. It is Christ that must save from the guttermost to the uttermost. As long as the sinner hears the call and responds, that is all that really matters. Men and women come to God in various ways. They do not all blossom at the same time, nor do they in the same way bring forth their flowers. Sometimes the leaves come first, and sometimes the leaves come second. Christ is sovereign. He calls men and women. He calls boys and girls as he pleases. Some he calls in the thunder of the storm. Some he calls in the calm of the stillness. Some he calls in the springtime. Some he calls in the summertime. Some he calls in the autumn time. And some he calls in the winter. He calls to them all the same invitation. Come. 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 Our business, if we would not be dismayed, is to obey the invitation by coming to Christ. It is not the circumstances surrounding your conversion that are all important. It is the certainty that you have come. What did the prodigal say? I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am not worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thy hired servants. What did he do? He came. I was once far away from the Savior, just as vile as a sinner could be. And I wondered if Christ the Redeemer could save a poor sinner like me. As I wandered on in the darkness, Not a ray of light could I see. And the thought filled my heart with sadness. There's no hope for a sinner like me. And then in that dark, lonely hour, a voice sweetly whispered to me, saying, "Look unto me, I have power to save a poor sinner like thee." I listened, and lo, 'twas the Savior who was speaking so kindly to me. I cried, "I'm the chief of sinners. Thou canst save a poor sinner like me." I then fully trusted in Jesus. And oh, what a joy came to me. My heart was filled with his praises for saving a sinner like me. No longer in darkness I'm walking. The light is now shining on me. And now unto others I'm telling how he saved a poor sinner like me. And when life's journey is over, and I the dear Savior shall see, I'll praise him forever and ever for saving a sinner like me. The old Puritan Thomas Watson said, "The pardoned soul admires God, and he cries out, 'Who is a pardoning God like thee that pardoneth all my iniquity?'" A man that goes over the narrow bridge in the night, the next day goes out and examines the bridge. He realizes what danger he was in midnight, and going across that narrow bridge. So when God showed you how near we were to fall into hell, and how that God in grace shut the gulf, and all our sins were pardoned, we will be amazed, and we will cry out, "Who is a God like thee that pardoneth iniquity?" Dear sinner friend, this very night you can find God. But best of all, God can find you forever. Do not take another step to hell. But this night put your hand in the hand of the Savior and step into the kingdom of God. Alas for sinners who, when faced with the pangs of coming death, cry out. But alas, in many cases they cry, "Too late, too late, too late," shall be their cry. The Savior of Calvary has passed them by. I would say solemnly tonight, by the sufferings of the blessed Son of God, by the pangs of one who was called the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, by the nails that pierced his lovely hands and his beautiful feet, by the whip that tore into his blessed back, by the body that was marred more than any man, and the form more than the sons of men. With my Bible in my hand, I pray you, dear sinner, this night in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. In the solemn words of the delivering angel who went to Sodom to save Lot and his wife and their family, I would say to you, escape for your life. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thee in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Remember, Calvary covers it all. The past with its guilt and shame. May you tonight come to Calvary. Hide your broken and sin-scarred house, scarred sinful heart, in the rent side of the Son of God. And look up and say, I'm hiding in thee. I'm hiding in thee. Thy blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. May it be so for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this solemn time. We have heard thy voice, Lord. It has been a voice of calm and peace to those that know thee. We recognize thy voice. It's so sweet. It's so gentle. It's so loving. It's so forgiving. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. But there are those here, and as yet, they have not accepted the sweet word of invitation. They still are on the broad road. Their back is toward heaven and their face is towards hell. Oh God, stop them in their mad career this night. Turn them. Oh, turn them, for why would they die? And grant that before this service ends, precious souls may put their faith and trust in Christ forevermore. Hear this our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen.